Survivors. Martin H. Greenberg and I have co-edited a series of anthologies for Door Books, which include the best stories of a given year. We began with the best of 1939, a book that appeared in 1979, and proceeded year by year until in 1986 the 15th volume appeared with the best of 1953. In press, as I write this, is volume 16, which deals with the best of 1954, and in preparation is volume 17, which deals with the best of 1955. For each of these books, Marty writes a general introduction outlining the events of the year, both in the real world of science fiction and in the imaginary world of the great outside. We then each supply a headnote for each of the stories in the volume. Marty's headnotes deal with the science fiction writer's career, while I write on some subject or other that either the author or the story has inspired in my weird brain. I read Marty's headnotes with avidity, for they always tell me more about the writer than I know, but not more than I want to know, of course. One thing that I've noticed, with some curiosity, is that science fiction writers tend to have a 10-year lifespan, or if anything, less. That is, they will write science fiction, sometimes copiously, for 10 years or less, and then they will dwindle off and fade to a halt. Sometimes they don't even dwindle, they simply stop dead. It leaves me wondering why. One explanation, of course, is that they find other and more lucrative markets. John D. MacDonald wrote science fiction in his early years, and then made them big time in mystery thrillers. John Jakes wrote science fiction in his early years, and then made the big time in historical fiction. Another explanation is that they die. Even science fiction writers die. Back in the 1950s, Cyril Kornbluth and Henry Kuttner died while each was at the peak of his career, and more recently, the same was true for Philip K. Dick and Frank Herbert. But there are those who simply stop and end what seems a fruitful career without switching to other fields and while remaining vigorously alive. I can even think of names of fresh young writers who graced the pages of this magazine in its early issues, whom we, or anyone else, don't hear from much anymore. Well, why is that? Do they run out of ideas? Do they simply get tired of writing? Does science fiction change into new channels with which they are out of sympathy? I simply don't know. Perhaps this is something that is true of all forms of writing, and not of science fiction alone. Perhaps it is true of all forms of creative endeavour. Perhaps burnout is a common phenomenon, which ought to be studied more than it is, by psychologists, not by me. But if burnout is common, then what about those cases in which burnout does not occur? It may be just as useful to study those who are burnt-out immune, and who have been writing high-quality science fiction steadily, prolifically, and successfully for, say, 40 years and more, and who show no signs of breaking under the strain. Lately, I have noticed that such people are termed dinosaurs by some observers in the field. I suspect that the term is used pejoratively. That is, it is not used as a compliment. From the things they have to say about the writers they call dinosaurs, I gather that, like the real dinosaurs, these writers are considered to be ancient, clumsy, and outmoded. The term, however, is particularly inappropriate, because the characteristic that we most associate with the real dinosaurs is that they are extinct, while the characteristic most notable about the writing dinosaurs is that they are not extinct. As a matter of fact, I gather from the nature of the comments made about these dinosaurs that those who use the term are rather aggrieved at them for not being extinct and for hogging too much of the spotlight for far too much time. Well, that's their problem. For myself, I prefer to use the term survivors, which is neither pejorative nor complimentary, but merely factual. What are the characteristics that would qualify a science fiction writer to be a survivor? To begin with, since I talked about a successful and steady and prolific writing life of at least 40 years, a survivor would have to be at least 60 years old, and alive, and working. Naturally, he would have had to have started at quite a young age, and been swatting away at it steadily since then. I can think offhand of 9 writers who fulfil these qualifications, and here they are. 1. Jack Williamson. His first story was published in 1928, when he was 20 years old. He has been writing steadily for 59 years, and he is now 80 years old. To me, he is the undoubted and well-beloved dean of science fiction. His The Legion of Space, which bounced me off the wall when I was a teenager, appeared 53 years ago. 2. Clifford D. Simak. His first story was published in 1931, when he was 27 years old. He's been writing steadily for 56 years, and he is now 82 years old. His City appeared 43 years ago, and Cosmic Engineers 48 years ago. 3. L. Sprague de Camp. His first story was published in 1937, when he was 30 years old. He has been writing steadily for 49 years, and is now 79 years old. His Lest Darkness Fall, which I read in preference to studying for an all-important test in physical chemistry, without ever regretting it, appeared 48 years ago. 4. Isaac Asimov. You didn't think I'd leave myself out through some perverted notion of modesty, did you? My first story was published in March 1939, when I was 19. I have been writing steadily for 48 years, and I am now 67 years old. My story, Nightfall, appeared 46 years ago. 5. Robert Heinlein. His first story was published in August 1939, when he was 32. He has been writing steadily for 48 years, and he is now 80 years old. His Blow-Ups Happen appeared 47 years ago. 6. Fritz Lieber. His first story was published in August 1939, when he was 29. He has been writing steadily for 48 years, and he is now 76 years old. His Conjure Wife appeared 44 years ago. 7. Frederick Pohl. It's hard to say, because so much of his early stuff appeared under pseudonyms of one sort or another, but an undoubted story of his appeared in 1941, when he was 21. He's been writing steadily for 46 years, and he is now 67 years old. His Gravy Planet, Space Merchants, appeared 35 years ago. 8. Arthur C. Clarke. His first story appeared in 1946, when he was 29. He's been writing steadily for 41 years, and he is now 70 years old. His Rescue Party appeared 41 years ago. 9. Poul Anderson. His first story appeared in 1947, when he was 21. He's been writing steadily for 40 years, and is now 61 years old. His The Helping Hand appeared 37 years ago. I don't pretend that this list is necessarily definitive. Offhand, I can think of 3 other possible survivors. Lester Del Rey's first story was published in 1938, while A.E. Van Vogt and Alfred Bester were each first published in 1939. In recent decades, however, they have not published much, so I can't honestly deny burnout in their case. If we look at the list, we can come to some conclusions, I think. In the first place, the survivors were all science fiction fans from a very early age, and gained a lifelong fascination with the field. That must be so. Secondly, each must be a non-suffering writer. Lots of good writers, even great writers, don't necessarily like to write, and must force themselves to do so. This doesn't prevent them from writing well, you understand, but it does prevent them from writing a lot. My qualification for being a survivor is that one writes steadily and prolifically. Thirdly, each resists the notion of abandoning science fiction. It is unlikely that survivors can write only science fiction and nothing else. To my knowledge, Simak, Pohl and Anderson have written good non-fiction. Clark and De Camp have written quite a bit of good non-fiction. And I have written a thundering lot of it. In addition, Pohl has written mainstream fiction. He has a new novel entitled Chernobyl that's coming out, very unusual, and not science fiction. De Camp has written excellent historical novels. As for me, I have written a great deal of mystery fiction. In every case, however, no matter how they stray, these survivors always return to science fiction. There you are. Dinosaurs, I think not. I think the survivors, even I, are the great pillars of science fiction. I wonder how many more of them will appear in the future.